I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today we have the vigil of Saints Simon and Jude, and these two apostles had heard from Jesus' own lips the words of the Gospel, I am the vine, you are the branches. These apostles came the branches, that is, the members of the Catholic Church, his church. And in order to get to heaven, you children too have to be the followers of Jesus. If any member of the church does not act like Jesus, he is a withered branch and will be cut and tossed away to be burned. You children might have heard an old nursery rhyme named I Had a Little Nut Tree, and the story behind it tells how once a wicked Spanish princess was punished for her crime. It tells about a blacksmith named Roger. One day he saw a little spring cart coming slowly down the hill. The cart was drawn by an old white horse, one of whose shoes seemed to hang by a single nail. And in the cart, Roger saw an old hen wife, and she called to him. See to my horse, young man, and be quick about it, will you? She said, and sat down to wait on a little bench, which Roger had put under the nut tree growing by his door. The hen wife went said, You are young for a blacksmith, my lad. What is your father doing to leave such heavy work to you alone? My father died last year, and I took up his trade, said Roger. Our people have worked this workshop for 7 generations. He and I and my grandfather and great-grandfather and his father and grandfather before him, we were all smiths. 7th blacksmith in a line of blacksmiths. Why, young man, that's a patent of nobility. To be the 7th in line, why, you may be as great as king if you make the most of your fortune. Roger finished his work in silence. The old henwife began then again, A fine nut tree you have, young man. Fine to look at, maybe, but it bears no fruit, said Roger. My father planted it the day I was born, 19 years ago, this very morning, and not a nut has ever grown on it. Now, madam, your horse is ready. And Roger carefully helped her back to her seat in the cart. As he spoke, he stooped to pick up the cast horseshoe, meaning to throw it aside on a heap of old iron. But she said, Keep the shoe, it may bring you luck. And she shook her reins, and the horse moved slowly off. Roger stood there holding the worn horseshoe for a moment. Then an idea struck him, and taking his hammer, he nailed the shoe to the nut tree. When fall came, the nut tree, for the first time ever, bore fruit. True, there were only 2 fruits, and one was not a nut at all, which made it all the stranger. On one branch could be seen a fine yellow pear that shone like gold, and on another a silver nutmeg could be seen. Every customer at the workshop saw this curious sight, and soon Roger had more work than he could well manage, for everyone came in order to look at the famous nut tree. By and by came more and more distinguished visitors, until the Princess of Spain, who was traveling through the land on her way home from visiting neighboring court, came and wanted to buy it. Only give me the nutmeg and the pear, and I will make you rich, she said. My father will make you a great lord. I am a blacksmith and the 7th of line of blacksmiths, said Roger, drawing himself up proudly. Can your father show a better descent? If he could make me a king, I should say the same. The princess looked at him approvingly, for he was handsome youth, tall and well-built, with a bright open face. Can I do nothing to persuade you? She said with her sweetest smile. But the smile was quite lost on Roger, who was looking at a loose pin in one of the coach wheels, and in his anxiety to set it right, he never answered her at all. So she gave the word to drive on, and Roger went back to his workshop without so much as a glance behind him. Next morning he had again a visitor. He saw a girl, a gypsy as he thought, who was dressed like the peasants in a cotton gown and heavy wooden shoes, and a bright yellow handkerchief was twisted round her black locks. She was pale and weary-looking, and seemed ready to drop from fatigue. So Roger ran forward to push the seat further into the shade on the nut tree and placed the girl in the most comfortable corner. She thanked him with a charming smile. "You looked very tired," he said, lingering on the threshold of the workshop. "Can I do anything for you?" "I walked 5 miles across the fields this morning in the blazing sun, and my feet are so bruised and sore that I can hardly bear it," said the girl, kicking her shoes off impatiently. Her feet and ankles were curiously small and white for a peasant, but Roger only saw that they were cruelly bruised with the heavy shoes, and he hastened to bring out a pail of water for her to bathe her feet in. Before she put on the shoes again, he showed her how to make them more comfortable by patting the toes with soft grass. Then she said, "I am dying of thirst. I should be most grateful for a cup of water." But the spring from which Roger drew water was far away. He could not let this exhausted girl go away thirsty, that was clear. When he wondered what to do, his eyes were caught of the magic pear in the nut tree, and he stretched out his arm, picked a fruit, and offered it to the girl. Roger sat down beside her, cut it carefully in half, and they ate it together. It was quite ripe with the delicious flavor, but Roger ate his share absently, thinking only of the pretty face beside him and trying to remember where he could have seen it before. Presently he was called away by a customer. After some delay he came hastily back, but his pretty visitor was gone. And something had gone with her. The silver nutmeg had vanished. He sought anxiously far and near, but could neither find her nor hear of anyone else who had met her. When he returned unhappily to his work, he happened to see the Spanish princess's coach go by in a cloud of dust, but it never occurred to him to put the two and two together and conclude that his silver nutmeg might be found in the princess's pocket, and that the strange visitor had been the princess herself. Now it was a very wicked thing for a king's daughter to do, wasn't it? But she was a spoiled child who had never been disciplined in her life. But she was punished, as you shall hear. In the days which followed, Roger went about his work as usual, but the change had come over him. Instead of whistling and singing, he was now silent and gloomy, and his spare time was spent in aimless wandering or in sitting alone, thinking over he hardly knew what. He was haunted by dreams of a lovely face with pleading brown eyes, but he could learn nothing of the gypsy girl, nor did he hope ever to see her again. At last, when the winter was past and the spring came again, Roger sought out the old henwife and told her the story from beginning to end. She told him, "You must find the nutmeg. Its loss would have mattered little if you had not shared the pear, but as it is, you will not be better until you find her who shared it and compel her to give back what she stole. There will be no peace for you until you have done this." The next day Roger rose and put on his best clothes, with a new leather apron and a bright hammer stuck in his belt to show his craft. He set out to follow their son round the world until he should find his silver nutmeg. And so it happened that after he had traveled 7 months, he came to Spain, and the first person that he met was a herald proclaiming that the man who could heal the king's daughter of her strange illness would receive a reward the hand of the lady herself, a kingdom in the New World, and a castle in Spain. "What ails the princess?" asked Roger, remembering how she had once tried to buy from him the very thing for which he was now searching. "That is what no one knows, and no one can care it," replied the herald. "Since she returned from her travels a year ago, she has done nothing but weep and mourn, so that the whole kingdom is plunged in melancholy. The wise men say that the cure for her complaint lies in a charm of silver, which is sharp like a nutmeg, which she brought home with her. Where it came, no one can tell, and how the charm is worked, none can tell either. If the nutmeg could be broken, they think, the spell which binds the princess might break too. But the heaviest weights and the most powerful machinery will not work on it. Therefore, there must be magic in it. Now, can this be my nutmeg, and can the princess have bribed the gypsy girl to steal it?" thought Roger. But when presently he met the princess's carriage, returning from her daily drive, the sight of her face, sad and pale, revealed the whole story to him. And in the morning Roger presented himself before the king, and offered to care the princess. The king rose and led him to her. She sat in her cottage, crying like a rain cloud. At the sight of Roger, she blushed and hid her face in shame with her hand, while the tears dripped between her fingers. On a little table beside her lay the silver nutmeg. And without saying a word, Roger drew the hammer from his belt and gently tapped the nutmeg. It broke instantly, and out of it fell a little gold ring. This he picked up, and falling on one knee before the princess, he slipped it on one of the slender fingers of her hand, which he then kissed. And instantly the princess stopped crying. She dried her tears, and with a happy smile stretched out the other hand and raised him to her side. This was the story of how Roger the blacksmith married the king of Spain's daughter and became a king himself. And you, children, you are the fruits of much better tree than was the magic nut tree. Through baptism, you have been made fruits and branches of Christ's own church. And if you should do anything in your life against the will of God, that is, if you should commit a serious sin, you would end up like the king's daughter, all sad and miserable, no matter how much money or wealth you will gain. But let Jesus be your counselor and savior. Love him more than you love the world, and you shall also become the heirs of his heavenly kingdom. And that is a much greater reward than ever a kingdom in the New World and a castle in Spain would be. May God bless you, children.